We're back with another weekly helping of Mint Sauce Chronicles. I hope everyone's in good health. Shall I go through the format? Is it worth it? It's not worth it, is it, Chris? Anyway, we release four shows a month. You can find them on sheepfarm.co.uk. Sheepfarm.co.uk. If you remember, that's if you're a member, not if you remember. If you remember, it's my Yorkshire accent, you get the full 2 hours or full show and download. And we release them also on Podomatic with the first part one. So don't bother trying to log in if you remember on Podomatic because you won't get anything. You'll get shaft all, as I say up here. Nothing. First part's also distributed to Spotify, Amazon, Audible, Google, Apple, and a few others. Also, we put the first part on Rumble as well and Odyssey. And I spent quite a while on Odyssey today, actually, because I knew they were all on there, but I didn't realise how many. All the old YouTube videos that I put on from about 4 years ago are all backed up on Odyssey automatically. So going through them, and I got a little bit carried away, it's quite interesting to see what we're putting on. And yeah, anyway, so if you want to see, all the Matrix videos are on there as well. I know people ask about them, and I do mention that, but they're on there. If you subscribe to the website, you'll get an email notification about new shows. You don't have to become a member to do that. Just throw your email in and you'll get a reminder. If you don't want to do that, don't do it. They're just there on a Saturday anyway, or all week if you want to go back on a Monday. Thanks for the comments and Chris's Doc Martens, I mean DMs, on Instagram.
You're still going to keep saying that?
Yeah, I like it. I found it funny. Because what's a DM? I've got to admit, a few years ago, I didn't even know what a DM was. But I do now. Direct message. I'm glad I don't get any. Although somebody did send one to Elf Bunker today, actually, indirectly for me.
I get quite a few DMs, and I get some through my jobs, right. And some through Instagram.
Right. Anyway, thanks for everybody who's ordering supplements. Remember, use the promo code. I'll put it in the description. Somebody emailed me the other day saying, I'm not going to, it don't work your promo code. Yeah, but they missed first three letters off, which is quite important when you put in full code in. But anyway.
Reaction results.
Shit, we've got to do. Note to reactionary about. Nothing to reaction about. I also put a link in for Rich Planet, Richard Dial's donation button, if you want more information. He just released a new show, actually. It's on my list to watch. I've been that busy. I haven't had a chance to watch.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. He released one last week with a lady who was in a similar sort of predicament to him in Ireland.
Right.
But she's actually a bona fide professional journalist. We're only amateurs, obviously. We're not even amateurs.
Anyone's a journalist if they're looking into truth and honesty.
Ah, but you're not, though, Chris. That's the problem. We're not. Because you need that diploma. You need that diploma from a university to say that you're an expert in journalism. Bullshitting, in other words.
What's the one up there? What's it? PM? What was the other qualification?
What for?
Oh, I just forget. That one, I'll forget it. I'll never remember. No, forget it. I can't remember. Right.
You are a thick bastard, though, like me.
Yeah. Well, you've got a degree. What's the one after the degree? I'm going to remember now. Begins with a P.
Why somewhere. Are you getting me involved?
P somewhere.
Why are you getting me involved in it all?
That's why I never got one, because I don't even know what it's called.
Who gives a shit? I didn't go to school.
Anyway, whatever it is, someone at my missus's work had it on their registration.
Right.
That qualification. I'll remember later.
It obviously means a lot to you.
It means nothing to me. No. I've got no nothing wrong with anyone getting qualifications. My missus is doing an art degree just because she wants to.
Right.
I think we've talked about that before. Doing a side lesson in sustainability, which comes in really handy with a fine art degree.
Especially when you're using oil-based paint. On paper.
Yeah.
Rainforest oil. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
It's all there, isn't it?
Yeah. People have been asking us to do some more talks. We're going to come on to that in a sec. But podcast guesting. To be honest with you, I'm not, and it might think we're ignorant, but I don't get a chance to do anything. Being blunt, nothing. And I know Chris is in the same boat. Just to, you know, we do these shows weekly. We do go on, there's probably two shows we go on, well, with Matt Majerski as well, you know, every now and again. They're as mates, though, so it's not like I'm going on a show there. I don't have to organise anything. And it's one of those ones where, yeah, just too busy. Too busy. Far too busy. People ask us if we can do a live show. Something will, as in suffer, if I do something else. And I don't, I like doing the podcast. Well, I like doing the research, and the research is suffering at the moment. I don't feel like I'm doing the research that I want to do. But then I think to myself, well, hang on a minute. I've written probably 5 episodes for the Huxleys that are more or less finished. And I'm thinking I'm not doing any research. So I don't know. Maybe I'm an addict, research addict. Possibly. Talking of shows, we didn't speak about it last week because obviously we had Lance and Andy on. But the live show we did up at Pennine Manor in Huddersfield, I really enjoyed it, didn't you, Chris?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. We didn't really talk about it last week because we had Lance and Andy, like you said. But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
It was a good experience. Just like Jonathan's, when we did Jonathan's, it was a little bit different to Jonathan's because we had a bit more time with people, didn't we?
I think it worked out well because we had the bar, it was a hotel, people stayed there. So when you left, obviously, and I went to the bar after, and
that's surprised.
Everyone were in there chatting till midnight. Quite a few people were in there till midnight.
Louise, our mate, who works up there, said they were there a bit longer than midnight.
Well, I left at midnight.
Right.
But I was there Friday as well, in the bar.
A few rowdies there, weren't there?
Chatting to loads of lunatics. Yeah. I have to apologise because I'm really bad with names. I try not to no one actually told me the names, if I'm honest. But my missus always says to me, if we meet, if you can't remember someone's name, just don't guess it. I get them all mixed up, but I just end up embarrassing them. Yeah. Don't bother me, but it bothers her.
I find it quite funny.
4 or 5 bottles of wine as well. Some sheep things for Sicily.
Weird, isn't it? I did all organising, setting up, did everything. Got fuck all. Nothing.
Everyone knows I'm the backbone of sheep fan.
Yeah. Oh, Louise made me a cup of tea.
Yeah. I got bought numerous pints of beer.
Well, in fact, Mark Devlin gave me a
musical t-shirt, truth. You're wearing
cup.
It now.
Yeah, I got a t-shirt and a musical truth cup. So Mark gave me some.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's odd that. Maybe it's because they're all closet alkies like you. Yeah. And they're just sort of like feeding you.
Yeah, enabling me.
Yeah, enabling your alcoholism. Anyway, it were a really good day. About 100 plus people there.
Thanks for the bottles of wine, by the way.
Yeah, 100 plus people there. And it wasn't just the turnout, with the type of people. Louise, who has got into this stuff, our friend, and she got in, not necessarily researching it or all like that, but she didn't get tapped or anything like that. Kids didn't get tapped, and she's tried passing the message on to people and got laughed at, and she's seen the damage, everything's happening around her at work and all the other places and whatnot. And she were quite surprised at the type of people that went. I think she were thinking them all rocking up in, like, like 60s LSD buses. I don't really know what she expected to have. They were all really nice, weren't they? And that went, what did you expect?
There was a massive mix of different kinds of people. Lovely.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I came back to, and it was a long weekend for me, because I drove up and then drove back down again.
Oh.
No, I'm not a massive fan of driving.
No, you're not.
It touches over, goes into 3 hours, doesn't it? So it's just a bit, anyway, I'm not moaning about it. But I came back quite energised the next day, actually.
Yeah.
I was working, I thought I'd be tired, and I was quite energised.
Must have been all them presents you got.
No, but I think it's,
I felt just quite deflated.
I think it's just, there is definitely something to be said for being surrounded by like-minded people.
It's the energy. It's energy. You don't have to break the ice. There's no.
I'm sure people change numbers and stuff, which is lovely. Yeah. All connecting and
I was going to get your number, but I thought, fuck it, I don't need your number. you're right. There is an energizing factor to it all. Mm. And I think maybe a lot of people might have got that sort of feeling as well. That you didn't, and not only that, it weren't that everybody, at the end, what we did was me and Chris did a presentation. Mark did a presentation, which was very good, by the way. And I've seen, do you know that presentation? I watched it at St. Anne's with Mark, one of his presentations, and it has changed. Obviously, presentations have evolved, don't they? They gather more information. Mm. But every time I've watched it, and I've watched it, he did a live one in Australia, which were partly that. But I've found different things in it. That just shows that an hour and a half listening to a presentation, you just can't absorb all of it, can you? He's got a great way of delivering, as Mark.
Yes.
Not like our stuttering mumbo jumbo.
No. Well, I said in that thing, public speaking is one of my worst fears. I'm not really a fan of it, to be honest with you.
No. Hence the wine.
I didn't have it at wine.
Yeah, no, you didn't, actually. You were well behaved, didn't you?
No, I wouldn't. I
saw you shaking, though, because you were like, shall I have a pint? Halfway through, shall I have a pint?
I'll have a pint.
Didn't have any wine, just had a pint. With two vodkas in it.
But no,
it was a cup of tea, grommet.
Nice to chat to folk.
Yeah, but what I'm going to say there is, so Mark did a presentation, and at the after people, everyone had dinner because there was some dinners, so they did a buffet there, didn't they? And after that, we did another hour and a half, couple of hours, something like that. Me, you, and Mark. It was like we did a bit of a sort of talk about some images and videos and stuff, and then we did some like Q&As, but it wasn't really Q&As, were it?
No,
I don't think I'm an expert. We're just blokes who, you know, talk about it on a podcast. Really, a lot of people there know more about stuff than we do. It's not.
I noticed the guys who were there on Friday. Those couple of women. I don't think anyone told me the name. You know, they might have done. I'm really sorry. It was those two ladies when I got there on Friday who said, I bet you're glad you bumped into me. They're from Kent, actually, guys. Mm. They describe themselves as granny activists.
Right.
But they go around leafleting and all that stuff. We don't do any of that. I mean,
no, we're not activists. Like that.
It's amazing what people do.
But I think one of the questions there was that, not what's the best form of activism, but there's so many different types of activism, like people with yellow boards on the roundabouts.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know. You know,
I've been and spoke to a few of them a few year ago. It is, and the one in Halifax at Christmas once, and I was leaving the clinic and I saw him there. And I thought, oh, I'm gonna have to go see him. They had like Hugo Talk banners up and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
But didn't have a sheep farm one up though.
Bastard.
But that was two or three years ago. So I'll let him off. There is no right or wrong way, in my opinion. You know, this is what we've decided to do. I feel comfortable doing this. I like doing the research. People like doing that. People like doing Stand in the Park. Mm-hmm. People like doing the legal stuff. People like doing whatever it is that we need to do. People like putting petitions to the government. People like it's all. That's our world, isn't it? That's who we are. Mm.
Yeah. It's wherever.
I got that out of that Q&A part where, you know, some of the stuff that people are doing, I wouldn't even dream of. It's like Matt Landman. He's an activist, isn't he? He's
boots
an ultimate.
Ground.
Yeah, yeah. He's like the SAS of activism, of truth, a truth movement. Anyway.
What I did realise, a lot of, you know, they ask, have you watched this? And I don't know half of the people they're talking about. No. But a lot of them are fresh over the fence. So
yes.
They've got that frenzied.
Energised.
Just finding,
anger. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just
we never went through that, really, did we? I didn't go through that type
gradual slope for me.
Yeah. I never went through that. Well, I know you didn't. You know, even at 9/11, I weren't angry. You know, it annoyed me, some of the stuff, but I weren't, because it weren't directly, it were aimed at us, but it weren't like locking in your house.
I didn't really
threatening to take your kids off you if you didn't get jabbed. You know, you understand where I'm coming from? There were no threats on us, were there? Only perceived threats from perceived terrorists in a cave that CNN interviewed.
Yeah.
Green Berets couldn't find him, but. Hey,
I'll be honest, I don't think I've read that many 9/11 books. I mean,
no, I have. I read a few more than you, I think, didn't I?
First one I read was Michael Moore's one, which, yeah. I mean, that were in bloody Waterstones. I remember. I wasn't that interested though. I was in my mid to late 20s, and I didn't. But I was aware of the corruption. But I want that, and it was just like a build up, I suppose. Mm. Of
different. Yeah, but I know some people. Mark interviewed somebody, DJ Slipmat, on YouTube, on his channel now, and he woke up in May 2020.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I've said this before. I know you have. I couldn't think of anything worse than waking up in the middle of that shit. And the anger. I know people who've woken up there.
Like having an anvil dropped on your head.
An ex-partner of mine, a business partner, who woke up then after 25 years of me pestering him with stuff, denying it or whatever, saying I were nuts or thinking I were nuts, whatever. Yeah. And boom, you know, 2020 hits. We're going to close your business down. We're going to. Sometimes when that happens and you've got an ultimatum like that, some people, and they must have known there were going to be an aftershock of people realizing that they were living in a facade.
Who knows? We might all be getting rounded up
by them robot dogs that we're going to talk about in a bit.
Yeah. Forever the robot dogs will be coming after us. Which, if they do, we're screwed anyway. So it makes no difference.
It makes no problem. I might be concerned about my house prices then. Anyway, going back to the live show, I think somebody else booked some there as well. So the manager there were telling me that somebody booked some, like a psychic weekend or something like
that. You were asking if we wanted to go.
Right.
She was really lovely. I've got a card somewhere, to be honest.
Right.
Since that live show, I've just been on. I've been running up a hill.
So have I.
I'm bloody cream crackered.
Yeah. It must have been all that organisation you did for it.
All that organisation. I zoomed back down to.
You can zoom. Yeah.
I worked as a chef, and then I had to pack up loads of scopes because I went away for the weekend, for a long weekend. So she hadn't stopped. This is the first time I feel like I've sat down since that live doom.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not moaning. I like being busy.
No, we're good. But the reason I'm saying this is there is another live do. It's more or less sold out. It's on the 18th of May. So what, 4 weeks? Is it 4 weeks away?
Two, 3 weeks.
Hang on a minute. No, one, two.
It's 1st of April. Yeah, 1st of May,
3 weeks. Yeah. It's 3 weeks away. And it's at the same place, the Pennine Manor. And what this was, if you remember, because we got an influx of people wanting tickets for that one that we couldn't provide, we said, if you email me, the people emailed us. Get enough numbers. So we've more or less sold out. It's more or less sold out. I think there's about 20 tickets left, 25 tickets, if I'm wrong. But just because I'm saying there's 25, it's not like we need it to be, it's full enough now, to be honest with you. It's fair enough now. But there's 25 tickets left. I'm going to put them on the website. They'll go live. There'll be a link in the description if you want to come along. We're going to be doing different presentations. I've got a new presentation that I'm going to put together. Mark's going to be doing a different presentation. We'll be doing the same sort of format. We'll do a Q&A. So it'll be about, it's one, really, we're 1 till 9 o'clock, wasn't it, Chris, around that time? It didn't stop at 9 o'clock.
It was a long day. Yeah. But like we said, it was good because I think the brakes, I was worried about the brakes, but they actually worked really well because it was a chat and a break.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, they were my idea, actually.
Yeah.
you got people to mingle and hang around together.
Yeah, have a conversation. And then dinner were good because, there were 100 people talking to each other. You saw people just joining a table and, they come on their own. It wasn't even an issue, were it?
No. Very positive experience, I think.
Yeah. Very interesting. Anyway, so there's 25 tickets remaining if anybody wants to come along. Just go onto the website, follow the link, and there you go. I don't know how many rooms are available at the hotel. There's about 36, I think, 36 rooms, but I don't know how many's gone already. But there's hotels very close in the vicinity if people wanted to stay over, depending on where you were coming from. Yeah. But anyway, okay, that's about it for that. Talking of weekends away, you've just come back from Croatia with your mates, haven't you?
Yeah, so
were it for anything specific?
No, just that me and my old mates from school and stuff, we've all turned 50 last year, so
old bastards.
We don't really see each other that often, but it was nice. It was five of us went.
Just I love drank, Croatia. It's my favourite place at the moment.
Drinking and
Croatia.
Eating all weekend. I've worked out, I've realised, even though we talk about my wine drinking, right, I've realised I'm actually a bit of a lightweight. I think it's
comparison to them. That is rather worrying, that.
Yeah.
Because to me, you're a heavyweight.
I used to be the last man standing, I went first one down. I think it's having a 6-year-old.
Although I've got to say, I see my neighbours putting the bottles out. I mean, I don't put any bottles out.
Mine sounds like a pub bin.
Yeah. But my other neighbour up here, I'm surprised he can actually put fucking bottles out though that many.
No, but what you realise is, even though, you know, we talk about me having a bottle of wine, but I don't go out and drinking anymore. So I suffered from that weekend up north, actually, but not as bad as Croatia. But anyway,
Croatia. It's probably because it's the second weekend on trot.
Oh, that's
more
a good
or less.
Point as well. I've got some mates down this weekend as well. But the Croatia, beautiful. I've never been before and I absolutely loved it.
How clean is it? It's just a beautiful place, isn't it? Yeah. Again, speaking of energy, you land there, I smell like pine trees and, you know, it's very clean.
Very green.
Very green, but not green as in round here where it's full of, I don't know, it's like heavy and horrible where we live, green. Didn't used to be like this.
Being stupid, I didn't realise I didn't really know the history of Croatia. Mm. And then we went for a talk and a walk round. You know, we were one of those headphones in, that's how old we've got. We're now one of those guys with those things. But it was really interesting. And I didn't realise.
You know, I've been there quite a few times and I've never done that, Chris.
Would you do it?
No.
No.
Well, don't want to look like a twat. But you probably learn more. Yeah. It's a bit like going on a cruise, isn't it? And you walk around with them people that have got them boards held up, the number on it.
They never did
that either when I went on a cruise.
But they, you walk around one of those earpieces. It was really enjoyable because we're lads away. We want to do something different as well, not just go. Yeah. Although it did turn into a bender, but took a bit of. Anyway, we went for a walk. Right? I didn't really understand the history of the Yugoslavs invading it and stuff and all that. I tell you something I did think, right? When they were talking, she was talking like the few hundred years of invasions and attacks on, because in I don't know if anyone's been to Dubrovnik, but it's an old town inside a castle wall. They're all over the bloody world, aren't they? I suppose they were just fighting each other all the time. One thing I did think, though, is the amount of things that went, you know, attacks and you think about what's happened to us, you know, in wars and stuff. And has it ever been any different? You start thinking. Did they all think that was the end of the world, but that was the end times, you know, over and over and over again? Was it a form of end times over and over again?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking.
Press, play, repeat, rewind.
There's 3,000 people in this, or how many thousand in this, you know, this walled city. Mm. And the whole world's coming in on them. And also, how did the Yugoslavs just decide to attack it? How did they get away with that? Well, they didn't, did they? But all that trouble that you heard about, I mean, I was young, the Bosnia stuff and all that, I didn't really pay any attention at the time.
In fairness, it went on in World War I, World War II.
Constantly.
And the Balkan Wars have always, just especially after sort of like when Russia held them together, they sort of weren't the wars then. But
during World War II, drowned, weren't they? I suppose that's why you didn't hear about the tourist industry there compared to like Spain and Greece and Italy, I suppose, growing up. It was never really a thing, were it? That was probably obviously why, because there was constant fighting going on from the 90s.
Well, Yugoslavia were just a group of different countries, weren't it?
Right.
And so,
I won't pretend my history on it.
So. Well, I'm not on my history, I'm not saying it's fantastic, but...
One thing that was interesting that made my ears prick up, and I'm just looking at this Wikipedia, when we were going up these stairs, beautiful, you know, she was showing us all these buildings, bullet holes it was, and she got to this bit and she said this was her first, I think she said it was her favourite monastery. And it was a Jesuit monastery, so my ears pricked up at that point. Mm. And she said, the bit that I got from her was, the guy, he was a Jesuit priest, Roger Joseph Boscovich. And what pricked my ears at what she was saying, he was the guy who discovered that there's no atmosphere on the moon. And you think, oh, hang on a minute. That was in...
I thought that were Brian Cox.
This is early Brian Cox, this is.
Do you know the priest? Did he have like a blue leather jacket on with a graph in it?
I love the way you remember that graph. Let me read this bit from here, right?
So it boils me piss, that's why, Chris.
Roger Joseph Boscovich. He was born 18th of May, 1711. 13th to the 13th of February, 1787. He was a physicist. This isn't the stuff he's got under his belt, right? This is a Jesuit. I mean, I'm sure most people listening to this know what the Jesuits are like, the military of the Catholics, aren't they?
Military order, yeah.
Yeah. He was a physicist, astronomer, mathematician, philosopher, diplomat, poet, theologian, Jesuit priest, and a polymath for the Republic of Yaguza.
You missed out, chef.
He studied and lived in Italy and France, where he also published many of his works. Boscovich produced a precursor of atomic theory. This is in 1700, and made many contributions to astronomy, including the first geometric procedure for determining the equator of a rotating planet from three observations of a surface feature, and for computing the orbit of a planet from three observations of its position. In 1753, he also discovered the absence of an atmosphere on the moon. So this Jesuit, who I'm pretty sure well known now for, you know, coming up with theories and all that stuff and then putting it out into the public. Anyway, just listen to this other bit as we are fighting. This was interesting. I'm not reading him all right, but there's a little bit here. Listen to this. This is, imagine at the age of 8 or 9, after acquiring the rudiments of reading and writing from Father Nicola Nietzsche of the Church of St. Nicholas, Rudo was sent for schooling at the local Jesuit collegium. During his early studies, Boscovich showed a distinct propensity for further intellectual development. He gained a reputation at school for having an easy memory and a quick, deep mind. On 16th September 1725, so he's still young, he's like 15, Rudo Boscovich left Dubrovnik for Rome. He went to Rome. He was in the care of two Jesuit priests.
Very well.
Yeah. What is it, 1516, aren't we? Aren't doing it. Jesuit priest who took him to the Society of Jesus, famous for its education of youth. At that time, having, listen to this, over some 800 establishments and 200,000 pupils under its care throughout the world. So the Jesuits have spread 200,000 people, students, from being, and he's still a kid, and I can't imagine we're up to it. 800 establishments. And then let me finish this. Throughout the world. Learn nothing from him himself until the time we'd learn nothing from Boscovich himself until the time he entered the novitiate in 1731. But it was the usual practice for novices to spend the first 2 years in the Collegium Romanum, but in Saint Andre del Frat. There he studied mathematics and physics, and so brilliant was his progress in these sciences that in 1740 he was appointed professor of mathematics in the college. I think he was only there 9 years, and he becomes the top boy at the college,
the chosen one,
from being 8 or 9.
But what that shows you,
two Jesuits,
the Jesuit order,
clout. Like, they got some clout.
Well, exactly. I mean, they're spreading people around the world, training people to push their. I mean, it's not the modern day Bill Gates, isn't it? Going around the world.
He got dragged in by the Pope over to Italy to speak to the Pope.
The Jesuit order. Is like a secret army.
Yeah, I think really? They were even kicked out of Catholic Church. They were the Catholic Church military arm, but then they kicked out a few times and got back in again. And I think if I'm right, someone will probably know more than me, I think George Bush was the first Jesuit president of America.
Right.
I think. And I think the Pope now is the first Jesuit Pope, or the second. But I might have that wrong without looking.
Yeah. But, and then you get the... all these orders that we've spoken about that these people are part of as well. And these secret, like, Le Cercle and stuff like that, that were...
Some people believe the Jesuits are behind everything. Yeah. But then some people believe the Masons are behind everything.
And some people believe the Jewish people are behind everything. I always come back to, and it's a difficult one for people to get their heads around, there are probably several groups, and I say several because it might be 2 or 25, who knows, that work together, that are vying for power, that sometimes work against each other. Probably like you look at Russia now. Look at Russia, look at China, and look at Korea, and look at Brazil, I think, and India are even going down there, where they're sort of pulling away from the normal Western countries. So I'm not saying it's a country thing, because I don't believe that, because the Russians still jabbed everybody, the Chinese. So that part of plan, they were all on side with.
I don't think they tapped them with MMRA.
They were all tapping them with all sorts of stuff, weren't they? The Chinese were. When
old Schwabian says it's a reset, it seems like it could be some form of
that
reset.
Part of deal, everybody went with. you know, I mean, you can go into a boardroom and agree on, have 10 points and agree on five and not agree on another five. You know, strange, they don't care whether a load of people get wiped out. It's just part of a plan. It's a trading place, isn't it? Yeah. It's that dollar bet. And the Jesuits are probably part of that. Mm. And there'll be factions within the Jesuits that fight against each other as well.
I found that quite shocking that they had, in them days,
that much power.
200,000 pupils, 800 schools.
But that's what they're telling you they had.
Well, apparently, according to history.
No, but what I mean by that is,
around then.
Yeah. But that's what they're telling you had. They'll be like, it's like the 100th monkey, isn't it? Mm. If they had 200,000, that means they might have had 2 million. Because that one person might have managed 10 times them, if you get me drift.
And also, you're just popping that one guy in there with that opinion. Like, you're popping this guy there with his opinion that the moon's got no... He discovered in 1750, I think it was, whatever, 29, that the sun had no atmosphere.
Well, he didn't discover that, did he? The moon did.
Yeah.
Just like Thomas Huxley made flying dinosaurs up.
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it?
You know, you could come up with all sorts of different figures and stuff like this and say, oh, such and such. Let's face it, kids are still taught that gravity is real, even though there's no tangible evidence for it.
But also, is the things he was involved in, Jesuit priest, physicist, astronomer, he covers everything. Mm. You don't need a Brian Cox and a Bill Gates.
You need a Brian Cox. Without Brian Cox, we would be snookered.
We're all around the world as well.
Yeah.
Portrait in London.
Especially now he's worked out that humans haven't got a soul. It's official.
Brian Cocken. Yeah, he's told that.
And he's probably right. The people like him haven't got a soul.
Yeah. Or haven't got any soul.
Yeah.
Natural non-rhythm.
Yeah.
What, keyboard singing Doree.
What, which piss are we on tonight? That freebie from that show?
No,
we did?
I haven't actually opened them. I feel bad opening them. Because they give me better quality wines than...
Than that witch piss you're drinking.
Well, I've got a nice Primitivo from Puglia.
Right. Didn't you bring any Croatian wine back?
You can't get it through customs, can you?
No, it's a pain in the ass, isn't it?
And that was another thing, the wine there. When we did that talk, we were wandering around that town. The woman was describing Croatian wine. It was like 12 in the morning, 11 in the morning. She's like the specialist.
I bet you were drooling, weren't you?
I was. She says, the unique thing about Croatian wine, it's nearly black. It's dark red, nearly black. And I was like...
I've got to say, when you go there, the only time I do drink any alcohol is if I'm on holiday. I don't really drink any other time. And I don't drink red wine. Don't agree with me. I don't drink. All I drink from an alcohol perspective, I'll have a. Right. When I say I'm a lightweight, I'm a fucking Jesse. Mm. I'll have a couple of glasses of white wine.
To be fair, that's a good. It's a good place to be, that is fine. Just to have a couple and, you know, get a little.
I'm quite fortunate that I've never had that feeling that
you've never been a drinker, have you?
No, that I need a drink. I've never had that sort of feeling. So any excuse for most people, innit? I've had a shit week. I've had a bad day. I need a drink. I've had a good week. I've had a brilliant week. I need 25 drinks. You know, whatever it is, whether it's a celebration or you're pissed off, people still get drunk, don't they? Mm. So I've never had that sort of...
But I mean, sometimes you've got to think, you know, we're all here for a reason. You know, if I really thought maybe I came here because I fancied doing this, this, and this. And also, I wanted a bit more red wine, a bit of red wine.
Yeah, maybe that's why you came here.
Do you know what I mean? Maybe that's one of the reasons. Maybe some past life, I had a vineyard and never got to drink that last bottle of wine. I don't know.
Is that a dream you've had?
Yeah, maybe.
You've had a good vineyard, maybe with black grapes. I'm going to call this episode Cloudy with a Chance of Geoengineering.
Just before I go on, and one thing I will say about Croatia, I think I took a picture and sent it to you. Didn't see one chemtrail, one.
I've said that to you before when I've
Why
been
Why is
there.
That, though?
I don't know. I haven't a clue.
Not one.
I haven't a clue.
Saw some planes in the sky with a vapour coming off them, and I think it was vapour.
Yeah.
You know, when it vanishes straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't see any...
Today, we've sat outside, it was warm. First day it's been warm today, and there was still... There were like 10 different types of clouds, but they weren't clouds, you know, just odd shapes and stuff like that.
I
saw one, right, and this shape, it looked like a person running, flying across, and then when it came, it sort of spun round and then disappeared. It went, you know, just faded out. It was like, I've never seen one like that. I've seen a couple of them now this last week, but
I mean, clouds as well, to be fair, have always been fascinating things, haven't they? But these are different.
Well, they must be that fascinating that they couldn't think of, you know, they didn't notice that there were 50 new ones. And they've come up with new names for them now. Yeah. Nimbulus. Yeah. But after the flooding in Dubai, it reminded me of that kid's film, Cloud with a Chance of Meatballs. Mm. Cloud seeding. Mm. That's what it reminded me of. So
I mentioned to one of my mates on the way, I said, but they kind of admitted it was cloud seed and then kind of went backtracked.
No, yeah, well, quite blatant. Even in Jordan, they're doing cloud seeding. They're doing it all over.
But it was in some news articles, wasn't it?
I saw it in a newspaper in 2019.
No, what I mean is in recent time.
At Christmas,
Landman sent us an article saying they literally admitted that the Dubai thing was cloud seeding and then kind of backtracked. Yeah.
Well, loads of these universities came back and said, just because the cloud seed, it didn't mean say it caused that rain.
We thought it didn't exist.
It didn't exist, but now they've admitted it exists.
What's interesting, though, I mentioned to one of my mates about cloud seed when we were away. I didn't know what I was talking about. And I mentioned to Big D about chemtrails. He didn't really know what they were either. It's quite interesting, isn't it?
Dunny, get a grip.
Well, I explained it to him, and he didn't disagree that he'd seen them things in... Because I said there's none here. And I was explaining that they're seen in Huddersfield. It's just interesting. It's just interesting other different people's perceptions of things, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a bit hard to look up in Huddersfield because somebody will mug you. But in town centre.
Another interesting one I had from one of my oldest mates... We had a slightly heated discussion about the Israel thing because he was straight. He said the Palestinian protesters should be armstronged out of there.
Right.
And I didn't agree with him. But I said, I'm not going to fall out with you over.
I would.
Well, you would.
I wouldn't fall. To be fair, I wouldn't fall out with somebody.
People are entitled to their opinion.
No, I agree. I totally agree. I wouldn't fall out with somebody. I just wouldn't waste my time talking to him.
Well, no, we didn't, to be fair.
And I wouldn't have got an holiday with them.
you wouldn't go on holiday with anyone.
No, I just wouldn't have got an holiday with them in the first place.
We're very different like that, but... Well, I mean, I find everyone interesting, and they don't have to agree with me.
About them agreeing with me. I'm all for it, right? I just don't want to be around it. But I'm not saying I'm right, by the way. I'm just saying that.
No, I did say you're entitled to your own opinion. It's not your fault. You're a fucking idiot.
No, I'm joking. Why didn't you say that to him?
No, I did. Say that. Yeah. But then, obviously...
Well, it's strange because somebody mentioned, I'm flicking forward here on what I put together, but it didn't really matter. But when we mentioned, you know that video I played of Roseanne Barr the week and Jim
you
Brewer?
That one, didn't you?
Well, I like it from... that open conversation they had. Now, I don't know Roseanne Barr. I can't say I've listened to her that much, to be honest with you. I know she did some stuff with the MK Ultra lady, Kathy O'Brien, and what have you. Jim Brewer, he has been talking out since 2020.
I'd never heard of him until 2020, though.
Yeah, and I'd never heard of him either. But I sort of recognised his voice because he's been in cartoons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He does look like that type of character. And he's a funny bloke as well. So somebody sent an email in actually saying that Roseanne Barr, you got to be careful. I don't know if we said we liked her on that last. I meant I like what she was saying more than I like. I can't say I've listened to her. I never watched the Roseanne Barr show.
No.
I never watched any of that sort of stuff. I didn't find it particularly funny, to be honest with you. No. But anyway, that aside. This person was saying that Roseanne Barr is pro-Israel. She's a Jewish lady, is Roseanne Barr. Now, I don't know, because I haven't heard Roseanne Barr saying it. She might well be pro-Israel. I don't know what she's saying. But I know I got a story about Richard Pearl Necklace Branson kissing floor when he got off his plane in Jerusalem or somewhere in Israel, because his Virgin Atlantic's just got a new flight route to Israel.
Right.
Yeah. There's a picture of him there. I mean, that doesn't even look real, to be honest with you, but it's flying Union Jack and the Israeli flag, and he's kissing floor there.
So he's
London.
He's planning a route to Israel from where?
I don't know, from London or wherever. Or it might just be England, stop at, yeah, all of this to Jerusalem, not to Gaza, funnily enough, because there's fuck all left of it. And that sums up Pearl Necklace, Sir Pearl Necklace. That sums him up because he hadn't said anything about this. You know, why, you know, anybody, surely anybody knows, even if you think what happened with Hamas happened the way the Israelis have told it, which I don't believe that. That doesn't mean to say I don't think Israelis died. I do actually think Israelis died, but I actually think it was an orchestrated event.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, ISIS and Al Qaeda vanished, and all of a sudden you get a new terrorist group turn up.
Hamas.
Also, even if there is this terrorist group called Hamas making training videos in golf carts, it's a terrorist group.
And mono gliders.
It's a terrorist group. We didn't bomb Ireland when IRA were kicking around.
No.
Whatever shenanigans that were. I mean.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever it is, sledgehammer and nut. Is the phrase that people use.
But this is where it gets me annoyed, because you've got to be thick as pig shit not to see this.
Yes. But when you've got, say, RFK Jr., again, this is how these people lead you in. Like that Roseanne Barr, she interviews Jim Brewer. Jim Brewer says something really fundamentally, you know,
profound.
That ticks a lot of boxes, profound. Yeah. But then, so I haven't listened to another Roseanne Barr. I haven't got time and I'm not that interested. But that's how these people draw you in. Onto then talking about Israel and, you know, look at what these horrible people have done to Israelis there, without mentioning the full fucking picture.
But then it never mentions on the news that the people protesting are from the Jewish as well.
Exactly. They're just saying the Palestinians. But RFK Jr. basically said, flatten it.
I mean, I struggle with anyone who says things like that about any kind of. There should be no. I mean,
Jordan Peterson said something daft like, don't leave a building standing. Or it was something along those lines.
Another guy who's roped, dragged everyone into his little circle of philosopher.
Well, he roped everybody in with the jabs. He had two. I've never. Do you know? I know you're the same as me. I've never, ever. Magnet towards these people.
Do you know what, Fatty, right? Like the Andrew Tate shenanigans, Jordan Peterson's like that to me. He's one of them people where I'm at work or I'm somewhere and someone goes, oh, have you heard those talks, Jordan Peterson? I'm like, I've never heard of him. And then all of a sudden, I see what, you know, and then it starts coming on your radar or you search for him. It was the same with that, who is it? We'll just mention, what's his name?
Andrew Tate.
Never heard of him until someone mentioned him to me. Then all of a sudden, so it's clear that these people are put out into the ether so that people are grabbing them. And I never noticed them until I searched for them or someone told me about them. Mm. And like I said before about Jordan Peterson, they're just talking, aren't they? I mean, they sound clever. I'm sure they are clever. But I always notice when it pans around the crowds, you've just got a load of smug people like, sitting there. You get the same with Brian Cox. People sitting in crowds just smugly going, I'm listening to someone.
Yeah, yeah, I'm so intelligent. Love it by listening to me.
Really intelligent.
And that, when we had that live do, and I'm sure other live do's the same, when I went to St. Anne's, a lot of people there, same sort of. When you go there, people have slightly different opinions, but I guarantee that all of the things we're basically in line with, we might have different views on how we get there. Mm. But most people would agree with the Gaza, what we're saying, 9/11, whatever.
Well, going back to, what is it, Croatia, that Josef Boscovic, he probably had crowds listening to him talk about how there's no atmosphere on the moon.
Yes.
Or nodding their heads and feeling smug and clever, because he's come up with this theory.
With his leather jacket on his graph.
And his little Jesuit leather jacket. Had convinced everyone because they all, you know what I mean? He'd come up with a new theory, and I'm sure he could prove it with all kinds of bullshit he came out with. By following the sunspots on the sun, he worked out that the Earth rotated and all this stuff.
But again, this net that this operation throws on people, and that's why I think that certain factions work together then at times, and then other times they work against each other, and that's what happens, that's the world. And every now and again, one of these factions takes some off the other one, and there's a bit of a ruckus about it, et cetera, et cetera. But
I think there's certain rules in their factions.
Exactly, yes.
For instance, we can't talk about the moon landing.
Yes. We can't talk about the polls. COVID.
Yeah.
The polls.
Can't talk about the polls. We can't really discuss why the hell are we bothering having wars with anybody. We're all supposed to be grown-up adults who don't need to have a fight with anyone. And the bottom line is it's to sell arms. and
everything. It's to terrorize everybody.
Terrorize everyone. Probably some kind of ritual to murder a lot of folk.
Anyway, I'll play this. I'll play this Keir Starmer. He's U-turned as Sir Keir Starling. Funnily enough, Chris. I mean, politicians don't normally U-turn, do they?
I never thought of Stalin as a flip-flopper.
No. He's U-turned on gender, as Labour leader now says.
He's decided he's a woman.
he's decided his crotchless boxer shorts are a bit tight on his big gut. The Labour leader now says, though, his views start with biology. That's what he says. After previously saying he thought women could have a penis.
There's your next Prime Minister, folks.
Keir Starling. It's all mixed up about whether men are men and women are women.
I remember that, yeah.
I've got a pair of dusters.
It took 2 years for him to come up with a new answer.
He's come up with, he's got a team of scriptwriters coming up with this, Chris. Yeah. He's grown another three chins by the time he's come up with this one.
Big eyes. Ed's got fatter. Eyes have got smaller.
Yeah. Speaking on ITV's Good Morning Britain, I mean, that bastion of truth, Good Morning Britain.
Get all your best news there.
You do get all your good news there. About proposed changes. I thought he changed his mind. He only proposed, Chris. He only proposed. So Keir Starling said, there's a distinction between sex and gender. Ah. Right. Sex and gender.
I'd worked that out a long time ago, Mr. Starling.
Yeah, yeah. Where's he been? How old is he? Lived a sheltered life, Keir Starling. The Labour Party has championed women's rights for a long time, he says.
What a rat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least stick to your guns, pig.
Listen to what he says. But it's only a minute long.
Head on, because you challenged me on this last time. And let me be clear, for the vast majority of women, this is all about biology. And of course they don't have a penis. We all know that. And of course they need safe spaces, and we all support that. I've been supporting that for many years. And of course we want more equality for women. Again, the Labour Party's been fighting that cause for a very, very, very long time. So for the vast majority of women, biology is what matters, and it's very clear they don't have a penis. But let's not leave out of account that there is a small minority of individuals who are born in a gender they don't now identify with. Some go through a process, others don't, and that is very traumatic for them. And I, for one, I'm going to respect and support them. And I think that's actually when most people step back from this, they think, well, that's a fair assessment, Keir. You know, 99.9% probably of women, it's all biology. We must support them. Safe spaces.
Safe spaces.
What's he talking about?
It's all biology. Do you ever talk like that? Well
not
said,
saying
Dom.
Anything,
no,
is
no,
it?
No, but well said, Dom. I'll talk in third person. Well said, Dom. And why would you need to talk like that? You know, he's trying to convince people.
Well, it's like they've
lying bastard.
It's like the part of the scheme hadn't worked. I don't think for. There's not many people on board with that.
No. Well, NHS is reversing its guidance on terms like chest feeding.
Right. Well, there you go. So it is.
And people with ovaries.
It's bad plans isn't it?
To give hospitals clear language based on biological sex. It is clear. It's clear.
But how weird. I mean, it's clear. Well, I'll tell you what is clear. It's clear that they're backpedaling from what they said.
Well, no, he's just aligned to act trying to get in power. He don't care, does he?
No, that's what I mean. The backpedaling, because it's not. They've obviously gathered the data of people agreeing with the bullshit about chest feeding women with fucking Johnsons.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the one thing I would say is, again, Tony Blair, Sunak, even Cameron.
Steve's missus is pretty suspicious.
No, that's not his missus. That's all right. Raina. And Starmer, very camp voices, aren't they? Very camp voices. One thing about Johnson, you couldn't say Johnson had a camp voice, could you?
No. He were a proper
bumbling buffoon, but yeah. Labour leader, there's a picture that we're looking at here of him in Camden on a Pride March in 2022 with Deputy Leader Angela Rayner. Why do you need I don't understand why you need these march. I might set up a mixed race march. How about that one? Mixed race march.
Yeah.
And you can only get in if your nostrils measure a certain circumference.
You can only get in if you're 25%.
Yeah, yeah. If your nostrils measure a certain circumference, and yeah, that's the only reason you get in. And
let's jump on any bandwagon, won't they?
Yeah. I remember my mate's nephew going to Black Lives Matter talk in Huddersfield, and a black lady were on before him saying, "Yeah, white people are racist, blah blah blah." And he's just going, she gives it mic and just going and going, "My mum's white." That's how fucking nuts it is.
They're insane, aren't they? They're all insane. I remember when I was a kid, someone saying to me they didn't like black people, but half-caste people were all right. I said, "Oh, so you don't like my mum?" I've never met a clever racist, let me put it that way.
No. One lad that we said, he said, "I took a girl out the other night." I said, "Oh, yeah, what was she like?" He went, "Oh, she were an half chap."
That don't bother me at all.
No, I know, but it bothered him because he thought he was going to get a punch.
Actually, saying that, I forwarded some video you sent me to earlier to Ross Holt, who listens to us. Hello, Ross.
Hello, Ross.
It was the one where you said, "Look at this coin." But that's how we speak to each other in private,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And then I said, "Just ignore what my brother called me."
Well, I'll tell you why I say coin, right?
Yeah, I know why. Yeah.
Well, I was playing. I was quite good at rugby, right? And Dewsbury is the heartland of rugby. And one of my dad's mates said, "He called me dad Watty, right? Watty Watson, Watty, get your lad licking over here." He said, "We've got a few egg and spoons playing."
Not to make you feel more comfortable.
I were only 15. And I knew what he meant.
More accepted.
"We've got a few egg and spoons playing." This was 80s. "We've got a few egg and spoons playing. They'll fit right in." Oh, they're good dancers as well. Can they sing?
He was trying to make you fit in.
Oh, no. He was just making me feel at home.
Wasn't his fault, to be fair.
Wasn't his fault. No. We've got a few against spoons licking for us.
You might as well start as well.
Yeah. Who's manager? Fucking Alf Garnett. I'm only playing if Marigold's playing. The thing is, he didn't think you were doing all wrong.
No.
He was talking to my dad. And my dad said, "Young'un, why didn't you go play?"
Yeah. Dad, who's married a black woman.
Yeah.
He's just called him Megan Spoon.
So that's where that is, Yorkshire spooing. Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
That's not Yorkshire, that's Cockney rhyming slang, actually.
It probably is, yeah. Huh? Well, it's a version of Cockney Yorkshire rhyming slang.
Like a Dewsbury version of it.
You have a Dewsbury version of it, but yeah. Oh, man. I found a video of a boy who a woman addressed. You know, we were talking a few months ago about how the mothers. I've got generally got some sort of psychosis wrong with them when they're changing gender of the child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just watch this. It's about a minute long and it shows the process of, it didn't show the process obviously in a minute, but it shows the woman going to the doctor, right? So you'll be listening to this if you're just listening on audio. And the doctor's saying, this, I thought it were a girl at first, but it's actually a boy.
Right.
I had to watch it twice and it were actually a boy. So the boy is, I don't know, 12 or something like that. And they're putting him on, like, they're calling them blockers. Puberty blockers. Because they didn't want him to go through male puberty.
How old is he?
12.
Good God.
Yeah.
Well, it's another one of them, in fact, before I play it, that, and I've witnessed this, right, having a six-year-old, where... Not that one per se, but you know, the ADHD thing, the on the spectrum thing.
Mm.
It's another version of that, isn't it?
Yes.
Because it's been publicized so much, propagandized so much, people are happy to get on board with it.
Well, again,
they're on board with it to make them.
But the parents are mentally ill.
Which is what I'm saying. And I'm not saying the kids want it, the parents want to be on
board. They're convincing the child.
I don't know why. I can't. I mean, there's some. Kind of
convincing them because of people like this Starmer guy and all that, publicity that these are willing to go through.
But then you go back to the 80s and someone would say, "I didn't, you did, they got a slap." What, there's a middle ground somewhere that's right, I suppose.
Look, there are people who do, I'm sure, born that think they're the opposite sex, right? That's probably happened for centuries, Yeah. But this is different. Well, this is an agenda.
Things existed forever.
Yeah. But this is an agenda. The agenda is to change, yeah, as young as possible, change, start changing the sex of people.
Or confuse the fuck out of them as well.
Yeah. When the research that people have done, I found out that they're either gay, right? They don't want sexes changing, they're just gay, right? Fair enough. Or they're confused at that age because they've got that many hormones in them.
But then you do get, I remember working in a boozer and there were all the fellas dressed as women. Yeah. Fair enough. You know, do what you want. They obviously met up and got together. Mm. But I don't know, that's just it's a thing that's always gone on. It was when I was in Cambridge. I remember seeing all these, like, fellas, you know, women dressed as women. But they're not like, it's different though. And I remember one of my mates saying there was a guy at his work who worked in a factory. And all of a sudden he turned up, and they were going back 20, 30 years here. And all of a sudden, you know, he wanted to be called Sandra or whatever. And he was just a bloke. But then everyone did. And that were it. It were over. No, you know, I'm sure he got a bit of mick taken behind his back, but no one cared. And I remember seeing this group of guys and women, guys dressed as women. But it's not, they don't want to, they didn't, I think that, I mean, I might have been really ignorant here. They don't want to change the sex, just like dressing in women's clothes.
Well, the different, the psychology of it all, there are different, most of them have got a fetish psychology about it. They get aroused by dressing in women's clothes.
Right.
Right? So if you put that into the mix, and then they say going into a school, teaching people about LGBT, that's a whole different game.
They're a different set of people.
That's a different game, is that?
Mm. I would say they're a different set of people, fair.
Yeah, but I don't know, because I'm not one of the people, I don't know. I'm not. But then you've got the sort of extreme side of it, where some of these people are going into female toilets if they're a male, dressed as a woman, taking their clothes off in the cubicle and taking pictures of themselves.
They're abusers that have jumped on the bandwagon.
And you've got the other ones that think they're a fucking squirrel. Mm. Go out playing with the nuts.
I don't know.
Furries, aren't the furries they're called, aren't they?
Yeah.
There's a video of a girl who thinks she's an horse, right? And she's running around on all fours. Have you seen that video?
Yeah.
And she actually runs like an horse. Yeah.
Good luck to her.
But, right. You can't tell me there's not something wrong there. Because I just can't. All right, having a laugh and pissing about saying you're an horse, you're right, I understand that one.
I'd worry if my daughter started saying she
living your life like an horse, right? Mm. Yeah. Or an Alsatian chasing postman out yard. I mean,
it'd be funny, but you wouldn't want it to be your kid.
You wouldn't want it to be every day, would you? Wouldn't it be every day chasing milkman down the road? What happens when that kid grows up and he or she's 35?
It gets a bit repetitive
after a while, doesn't it?
I kind of choose to ignore this subject. However, when I came back from Croatia, my missus, I can't believe she did this, bought a rainbow fucking doormat for the front door. Totally innocently. And she said, this is bright colours.
She's trying to change you.
I said, look, you've literally put the LGBT fucking thing outside our house. You said you'd throw it in a bin. I've put it out the back door.
So throw it in a bin?
I put the LGBT flag outside my back door.
Yeah. I said that to you last night, didn't I?
Yeah.
Very apt.
I'll tell you a funny one. Lou's grandma, who's passed away now, Lou's mum once, she was going out with a guy, well, they were like mates, you know, like they do. She was old, and her mate was called Uncle Mickey. And he'd been mowing a garden, and a stone had flown off and smashed the patio doors. And her mum came in front of her sisters and a lot of other people and went, you won't believe what's happened. Uncle Mickey smashed your nan's back doors in. And everyone burst out laughing. And the mum's like, why's everyone laughing?
Well, we've come to an hour, actually. We're gonna pause here and we'll go into hour two, where we're going to talk about Thermonator. First ever flame-throwing robot dog.
I'll be flak.
Yeah. I'm also going to talk about a few other stuff in part two.
I've always talked about them robot dogs, Fire.
I know you have, so that'd be an interesting conversation. We're also going to talk about people that seem to be keeling over still, all of a sudden. The AstraZeneca weapons that kill Jibbery Jabber is taken to court, although it seems to me like a limited hangout, if you ask me, does that, like the cigarette stuff. And also I'm going to talk about the pertussis whooping cough vaccine.
Right, yeah.
Right, which is offered to pregnant women as well. And now they're pushing the fact that there's a whooping cough outbreak.
Kind of coincide with
all the ingredients and stuff like that.
Kind of coincide with each other. Outbreak equals jibber jab.
It's like a tried and tested modus operandi, isn't it? They've got the MO, terrify everybody with newspaper articles. Yeah. And what you find is, what I've worked out is, and I don't want to go into details because I'm going to talk about it, but for a month or 2 or 3 months, they've been talking about this 100-day cough. 100-day cough, 100-day cough. Right?
100-day cough.
Yeah, 100-day cough, 100-day cough. Right, and then they talk about whooping cough, and then they talk about a baby. They have a baby in paper, and that's like the money shot, isn't it? The baby in paper. That's it. They do the same with measles. They'll do the same with any other form of illness that they can give you.
Or propaganda. Children are the ultimate propaganda tool, aren't they?
But this is how thick people are. They use the same fucking MO on a giant scale. They did it with Divock, didn't they?
Well, again, talking about the Hamas, you know, a terrorist group have attacked us, so we need to blanket cap it, bomb an entire country for it. A sovereign country with a leader and everything, we need to get rid of him because a small branch of them have attacked us. Whether it's 13 guys with box cutters or whether it's Hamas who've kidnapped
us. So we need to flatten them.
We need to flatten the entire country because even their rhetoric of that situation doesn't make any sense.
Okay, then. Well, we'll wrap up there. Thanks for tuning in. If you're joining us on the other side, we will see you there. If not, we'll see you next week. But
tune in for the Terminator.